Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody, and welcome again to Anointed and Appointed Word Ministries with Brother Norman Woodard. I am Brother Norman, and I'll be sharing an anointed and appointed word that will change, challenge, and charge your character to make an impact in this world for the kingdom of God, our Father in heaven. I'd like to send special thanks to Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield. They have a broadcast that comes on every Saturday evenings at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And the name of their broadcast is Turn on the Light Broadcast. Turn on the Light Broadcast with Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield, which comes on every Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And they're also the assistant pastors at Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International in Stockbridge, Georgia, where the founder is Ruth W. Smith, and their lead pastor is Bishop Kevin Jones. That's Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International in Stockbridge, Georgia. And they have services which starts at 9 a.m. They have Bible studies at 9 a.m. and worship service starts at 10 a.m. on Sunday mornings. They also have Bible studies at 7 p.m. on Wednesdays. That's Christian Tabernacle International in Stockbridge, Georgia. Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International in Stockbridge, Georgia. Well, I thank you for calling in once again. Hope you had a blessed night. Woke up feeling refreshed, rejuvenated, renewed. We're going to hear a song before we get into the word. Amen.
Look around and it brings me to tears. God is real, but the world is cold.
People losing faith in the preacher, 'cause he got problems of his own. And we've lost respect for the teacher, because their passion is gone. And nobody cares about the widow, they say she's better left alone. And they walk right by the homeless, but they'll give a dog a home. As crazy as it seems, I'm not surprised. And we've been messing up for a long time. But God should not be judged for the things the man does. He's a real God. It's a cold world. Brother Marvin asked the question, oh, what's going on? And said, could lead to change, what's gonna come?
A change gonna come.
And see the wonder has inner vision, but we lost the way.
But the world keeps spinning around.
These are the words of Dr. Hathaway. Even a blind man can see, these are the last days.
God bless you.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. He said it's a real, real God, but it's a cold world. I think we can attest to that today. Everything that's going on in the world seems like the hearts are just so cold. But he's a real God, amen. So thank you once again for calling in. We're going to get into the word, amen. Coming out of the book of Romans, Romans the third chapter, verses 3 and 4. Romans the third chapter, verses 3 and 4. I'm going to read it the first time out of the King James Version. Then I'm going to read it out of the Amplified Version. Romans 3, verse 3 and 4, and it reads, "For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged." Now the Amplified, verse 3, "What if some did not believe and were without faith? Does their lack of faith and their faithlessness nullify and make ineffective and void the faithfulness of God and his fidelity to his word? By no means. Let God be found true through every human being, though every human being is false and a liar." I'm going to read that one again. "By no means let God be found true, though every human being is false and a liar, as it is written, that you may be justified and shown to be upright in what you say and prevail when you are judged by sinful men." The title of the message this morning is Faithlessness versus Faithfulness. Faithlessness versus faithfulness. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for allowing us to come before you once again, to sit at your feet, Father, to lay on your bosom, to hear your heartbeat, Father, to dwell in your presence, to be our comforter, Father, to be our help, God. Father, we thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word, God, your word that is true. Thank you for you, God, for you are true, you are faithful, you are holy, you are just. Thank you, Father, for forgiving us and for sending us your Son, Jesus. Thank you for Holy Spirit, for his leading and his teaching, his guidance. Now, Father, as we receive your word, equip us, prepare us, and anoint us to do what you called us to do, to go into this dying world and to be a light, to spread your message of love, peace, and joy. We thank you and we praise you right now. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Faithlessness versus faithfulness. Those are the two words that stuck out to me when I read this passage in the Amplified Bible. And I'm going to read it again, verse. It says, what if some did not believe and were without faith? Does their lack of faith and their faithlessness nullify and make ineffective and void the faithfulness of God and his fidelity to his word? So that was a question because of the sinful nature of the people. They were asking because those who don't believe and the way they were living, does it nullify or make none effect the God who is faithful, who is true, who is holy, who is righteous? And the answer was, by no means. Then it said, let God be true and every man be a liar. So no matter how man lives, God is still God. God is still true. God is still faithful. God is still holy. God is still righteous. God is still just. When Moses asked him, who shall I say sent me to deliver these people? He said, tell them I am that I am sent you. I am that I am. I am the true and the living God. I am all that you need, whatever you're facing. Just trust in me. So let's look at some words. Let's look at the word true. True. True is from an old English word meaning faithful. It means steadfast, loyal, honest, just. It means truthful, legitimate, rightful, accurate. When I thought about that word rightful, you know, a lot of people like to be right. But rightful, not being right, but doing right. And you do right because you are right. That's what rightful means. It means accurate, being accurate. True. Being that which is the case rather than what is manifest or assumed. Being that which is the case rather than what is manifest or assumed. I am that I am. I am that. Whatever you need, I am that. That's who I am. If you need healing, I'm Jehovah Rapha. I am the God your healer. You need peace? I am Jehovah Shalom. I am the God, your peace. If you need righteousness, I am Jehovah, the Sitkanu. I am the God, your righteous. Whatever you need, I am that. That's who I am. The true and the living God. Now let's look at the word liar. Liar. There's only one definition for liar. A person who tells lies. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Straight to the point. No sugarcoating. A liar is a person who tells lies. That's all they do. That's who they are. Let's look at Psalm 33rd chapter. Psalm 33. We're going to read verses 4 through 6. Psalm 33, 4 through 6. Faithlessness versus faithfulness. That's what we're talking about this morning. Psalm 33rd chapter, starting at verse 4. And it reads, "For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth." It's talking about God. "For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord." Verse 6 says, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth." So it says by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all of the host of them by the breath of his mouth. So if that's the case, and it starts off by saying, "For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth." When we think about creation and everything that he created in the beginning, it was done right. So there's no need to correct it. It was done in truth. It was done right, and it was done in truth. Now let's go to St. John. St. John, the 8th chapter. We're going to begin at verse 41. St. John, 8th chapter, verse 41. Faithlessness versus faithfulness. Verse 41 says, "Ye do the deeds of your father." Then said they to him, "We be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God." This is Jesus having a discussion with those who were Abraham's seed, those who were the descendants of Abraham. As a matter of fact, let's go back to verse 39. And it says, "They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. So because Jesus told them the truth, they got so upset that they wanted to kill him. That's the effect that truth has. Let's continue. Verse 41. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Now, I want to read this one again, and I want to focus on something. Verse 42 says, Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, ye would love me. But this is what I want to focus on, this next part. For I proceeded forth and came from God. This is Jesus talking. Says, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. I want to establish that for a reason. Now let's continue. Verse 43 says, why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father, the devil. Pay attention to this one. Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. Because remember, it says in Psalms 33rd chapter, what we read, everything God created was done right and true. So right here it says in verse 41, ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye would do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. So if he abode not in the truth, that means he had to be in the truth. Everything God created was right and true. Then it says, because there is no truth in him. So imagine that. To be born in truth and then get to the point where there's no truth at all in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. That's called separation from God. Because God is truth, and everything he created is true. So it says when the devil speaketh, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinces me of this, of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? That's a question for the day. If I say the truth, if I tell you the truth, if I'm speaking the truth, and the truth is from God, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Verse 48 says, then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? Now, you're talking about somebody upset. When people say the truth hurts, this is a perfect example. Jesus done told them the truth, and it done made them so angry, so upset. Now they talking about where they think he's from. Oh, you a Samaritan. Oh, you from the hood. Are you from the other side of the track? Are you from the ghetto? Are you from wherever? Judging him because of where they think he's from. But he's already told them where he's from. Back in verse 42. It said, Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. That's where Jesus is from. Not from a particular place, not from a particular region, not from a particular culture, not from a particular race. Jesus came straight from God. Let's look at it. Luke 1st chapter, verse 35. We're going to come back. Luke 1st chapter, verse 35. Actually, let's start at verse 26. Luke 1, verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing, I know not a man. So Mary was saying, how in the world am I going to have a baby having even had sex? Let's keep reading. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the mightiest, the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. So Jesus was born not by way of natural sex, but Jesus was born by way of Holy Spirit. That's the difference. That's why Jesus said, I proceeded forth and came from God. Not from a man. Because what they did, they connected him with Mary and Joseph. Because of where they're from and the place that they were from was, in a sense, the way people looked at them, the lowest of the low. They called Jesus a Samaritan. Remember when the woman approached Jesus, the Samaritan woman, she approached Jesus, and Jesus said, why should I give you the bread? Basically, he was saying, you don't deserve the bread. And then her response was, I am a descendant of Abraham. So when she said that, that changed how he looked at her. Because when we think about Abraham, Abraham is considered the father of faith. So when we walk in faith, we're no longer connected to who we are naturally. Yes, my father and my mother, that's who I came from naturally. But when I was born again, I became a son of God. When you walk in faith, it disconnects you from the natural. You are now supernatural. So this is what Jesus was explaining to them. No, I didn't come from Joseph and Mary. I'm not from Samaria. And then they were so upset where they started judging him. You're the devil. You got a devil in you. Just because he told them the truth. Let's go back there, verse 49. Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you do dishonor me. And I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, because he said that he only speaks what he hear the Father say. So they are not his words, but the words of God. So he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. So what's the opposite? If a man does not keep my saying, he shall see death. Faithlessness versus faithfulness. Now let's look at the word faithful. Faithful means to be full of faith, steadfast in affection or allegiance, to be loyal, to be firm in adherence to promises or in observance of duty. Every promise of God in him is yes, and in him, amen. Already, God is a God of his word. He's not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. If he said it, it shall come to pass. So the question is, did he say it? If he said it, it shall come to pass. That's called faithfulness. Now let's look at faithless, not true to allegiance or duty, treacherous, disloyal, not to be relied on, untrustworthy. Faithless is to be false. The fact of failing to be true in any manner, ranging from fickleness to cold treachery. He's a real God, but it's a cold world. Let's go to Romans. Romans 3rd chapter. Back to our text. I'm going to do a little bit of reading. Romans 3rd chapter. I'm going to start at verse 1. I'm going to read it in the New Living Translation. Romans 3rd chapter, verse 1. And it reads, then what's the advantage of being a Jew? Is there any value in the ceremony of circumcision? Yes, there are great benefits. First of all, the Jews were entrusted with the whole revelation of God. True, some of them were unfaithful. But just because they were unfaithful, does that mean God would be unfaithful? Of course not. Even if everyone else is a liar, God is true. Even if everyone else is a liar, God is true. Faithlessness versus faithfulness. As the scriptures say about him, you will be proved right in what you say, and you will win your case in court. Because he's righteous, because he's true. But some might say, our sinfulness serves a good purpose, for it helps people see how righteous God is. How does that sound? I'm going to read that again. But some might say, our sinfulness serves a good purpose, for it helps people see how righteous God is. Isn't it unfair then for him to punish us? This is merely a human point of view. Justifying is just a lying. Justifying is just a lying. They're saying because they were born sinners. They dwell in this sinful flesh, this human body, that it gives them the right to sin. But they're saying it's a good thing because their sinfulness, the sinful lives that they're living, its purpose is to make God look good. It's to make God look righteous. It's to make God look true. Talk about being self-deceived. But just because they were unfaithful, does that mean God would be unfaithful? Of course not. Even if everyone else is a liar, God is true. But some might say, our sinfulness serves a good purpose, for it helps people see how righteous God is. Isn't it unfair then for him to punish us? This is merely a human point of view. Of course not. If God were not entirely fair, how would he be qualified to judge the world? But someone might still argue, how can God condemn me as a sinner if my dishonesty highlights his truthfulness, listen to this, and brings him more glory? And some people even slander us by claiming that we say, the more we sin, the better it is. Those who say such things deserve to be condemned. Well then, should we conclude that we Jews are better than others? No, not at all. For we have already shown that all people, whether Jews or Gentiles, are under the power of sin. As the scriptures say, no one is righteous, not even one. No one is truly wise. No one is seeking God. That might be the issue. No one is seeking God. All have turned away. All have become useless. No one does good. See, when it says no one is seeking God and all have turned away, those are personal decisions. Those are personal choices. So there's no one else to blame but yourself. Because that person chooses not to seek God. That person chooses to turn away. Verse 13 says, their talk is foul, like the stench from an open grave. Their tongues are filled with lies. Everything they say is a lie. Snake venom drips from their lips. Wow. Picture that. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. They rush to commit murder. It's not even a second thought. I talk to people at work, and their reason or their justification is you either kill or be killed. Either kill or be killed. It's not even a thought. To take someone's life like it's nothing. Says they rush to commit murder. Destruction and misery always follow them. They don't know where to find peace. And this is the key. They have no fear of God at all. They have no fear of God at all. How in the world have we gotten to this place? Because there's no seeking God. And people have turned away from God. Therefore, there's no fear of God. So if there's no fear of God, then what is it to take someone's life? What is it to just lie for no reason? What is it to just steal? To take something that's not yours? Verse 19 says, obviously the law applies to those to whom it was given, for its purpose is to keep people from having excuses. That's the purpose of the law, to keep people from having excuses and to show that the entire world is guilty before God. The laws are there, but they are not being obeyed. For no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands. The law simply shows us how sinful we are. So the law is put in place. Someone breaks the law, that right there confirms that they're sinful. Because if you love God, then you will live an obedient life. Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. That's what love is. Love is obeying. Love is obeying the word of God. Simple as that. That's the definition of love. Obeying the word of God. Faithlessness versus faithfulness. Says, if, let's go to 1 John. 1 John 1 and 9. First John 1 and 9. Well, let's start at verse 8. It says, if we claim to be without sin, if we claim that we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. This is the New Living Translation. But if we confess our sins to Him, to God, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness, from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we are calling God a liar and showing that His word has no place in our hearts. The key word is if. If we claim we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins, say God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if we claim we have not sinned, we are calling God a liar and showing that His word has no place in our hearts. Faithlessness versus faithfulness. Are we doing what God's word says? That's the bottom line. Are we doing what God's word says? That's the difference of faithlessness versus faithfulness. Jesus said, I say what my Father say, and I do what my Father does. I say what my Father says, and I do what I see my Father do. Faithlessness versus faithfulness. Let us pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for being true. And thank you, Father, for your son Jesus to be an example that we should follow. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Anointed and Appointed Word Ministries. Love you. Talk to you next week. God bless you.